We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. So we know there's an epidemic of obesity here in the U.S., but is it really just about food and exercise? My next guest says, no, not quite. Dr. Bill Miller, the author of the book, The Microcosm Within, Evolution and Extinction in the Hollow Genome. Dr. Miller, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be on the program, and I want to compliment you, Mike. You're one of the few people that ever says hollow genome correctly.
How do people pronounce it?
Every way imaginable, which is all fine with me.
Yeah, do you correct them or leave it alone?
Sometimes. But anyway, it's nice to hear it pronounced
properly.
And it's a term that probably very few of your listeners know about, but we've discovered something really important about ourselves in the last few years of scientific research.
Yeah.
When you look in the mirror, you see yourself, you naturally think you're a single being. You know, I look in the mirror, I see Bill Miller. I got to be one person, one thing. And it's so natural that we can't stop ourselves from thinking that way. But when you actually understand our biology, our physiology, and this will relate directly to how things happen in obesity, we aren't a singularity. We are filled with trillions of microbes. And these microbes, they're just not hangers-on. They're not just there because we're an attractive host and they want to hang out with us. To some degree, that's actually true. But it's much more intimate than that. It's much more a codependency. The microbes need us to be what they want to be.
Yeah.
And what we've learned, and this is the part that's really different, we can't actually survive. We can't be ourselves. Without them, our immune system depends upon them.
Really? So if you use that antimicrobial soap that seems to be everywhere a lot, is that a problem?
Well, it's not a problem per se, but it's not really doing any good either. It's just microbes and us, we are a confederacy. We're absolutely necessarily linked. That's not to say there aren't terrible pathogens out there. Of course there are. There's Ebola. There's diphtheria. There are terrible things out there. But the run-of-the-mill bugs, the bugs that you and I get by if we play with our dog or roll on the floor or any of those things, almost all of those bugs are not only not harmful, many of them are strictly helpful.
And what do they really do for us, though?
Well, here's an enormously and surprising range of things. First of all, as it turns out, now that we have much better ways of understanding these things, the microbial cells that are in us and on us outnumber our own personal cells by 10 to 1. So at this moment when I'm talking to you, there are 10 times more microbial cells that are part of me, microbes that are part of me, than the Bill Miller cells that I would identify by looking at myself in the mirror. I know this seems ridiculous, but it's an absolute fact.
And I'm curious, the ones on the outside, do they really stick with us, or are they the ones that just kind of hop on and off? How does it work?
They stick. Actually, there have been very careful experiments that have been done about this, Mike, and what we're finding out is that there's a high level of fidelity of the bugs that are on us. The bugs that are on us want to be on us, and they stick to us at a generally high level. So you ask, well, what do these bugs do for you? What they do is they form critical co-partnerships with us that make us, our immune system, function the way it has to. So we want to protect ourselves against a terrible pathogen. We've got to have the proper bugs inside us, or we can't. They are crucial for our metabolism.
What do you mean we can't? Don't we have an immune system to fight these things?
We do, but the way that we're starting to understand complex organisms like ourselves is that our eyes see things as a whole, but the way nature operates is it works in cellular ecology. So if you take your guts, and we look at it and we see this ribbon of guts, if we looked inside with a CAT scan or something, we'd see the guts that are lining there. We think of them as whole organs, but what they really are cellular tissue ecologies. These are mixed cells. They're microbes and your regular cells, and the way if they're functioning well together, it's that partnership that provides the protective coating that prevents Clostridia difficile or some terrible pathogen from hurting you.
So are we coated? Are we actually coated in microbes? Is that what you're saying?
Everywhere. Every surface. You know, we used to think, when I went to medical school several thousand years ago, it was taught as an absolute truism that the inside of your body is sterile. I mean, the inside of your lungs, the inside of your kidneys, the fetus, for example, was everybody absolutely knew that a fetus is sterile in the womb. It isn't, not at all. What we're finding out is what we were culturing things, the bugs, and we would say, well, the cultures are negative, so you're sterile. Your urine is sterile. Well, that's true. The culture was negative, but the culture was revealing fewer than 10% of the total number of bugs that were there. Mm-hmm. There was an enormous amount of additional life that was completely ignored. When we talk about...
Well, you're saying in the womb there's bacteria in there, too. Is that
of course,
it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, tell me this. So when you're shaking hands with somebody or touching somebody, are the microbes somehow interacting then? Is that what happens?
Absolutely. You're transferring an enormous set of life to billions of you're trading billions of microbes, and you're sending cues, invisible cues. I know these sounds like weird concepts, Mike. Right. But
well, I'm trying to think: is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean,
you know what it is? It's a good thing. It's a good thing because we can't actually survive as human beings without being in this codependent partnership with this microbial life. Hmm. It is a condition of our life. Well, if you say, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, let me just, the more direct answer is this. Your life depends upon it for both good and ill.
You wouldn't survive without it. Do you and your spouse then, does that mean if you live in the same house, you have the same microbes?
You tend to, this will get back to obesity, but you tend to share the bugs that are in your environment. But we're also finding out that there are highly specific differences between individuals. And what we're learning is some of these differences express themselves in our metabolism. We're finding out many hidden variables for diabetes that appear to be now dependent upon gut microbes and even microbes in other parts of the body that have not been as well investigated.
So you're saying we're unique with like fingerprints? It's that unique?
Yeah, it is. So you tend to stay within type. So that racial and ethnic characteristics tend to have the same type. But each of us has a unique microbial profile in addition to being kind of like the people that are like ourselves physically, live in the same neighborhood, share the same foods, share the same co-environment.
They tend to be the same kind of ratio, things like that.
They do, but it overlaps, but it's not as tight as people think. People are highly personalized in how they are constructed, not only when you look at them or your fingerprints, but if you took the microbial signature, it would be humans are vastly different from dogs.
Right.
But each human is his own their own unique signature.
Has a unique microbial world. I'm talking to Dr. Bill Miller, author of the book, The Microcosm Within. So we talk about obesity. I wonder about what happens if you dramatically change your diet. Let's say if you go on one of these low-carb diets or completely cut sugar out or become a vegetarian, how do your microbes respond to that?
Well, they are shifting, and that's the interesting stuff that we're just starting to understand. When you diet, you are changing the microbial composition, which alters all of the complicated mechanisms that either assist you or defeat you in your diet. So let me give you an example. What they're finding is that the composition of the gut microbiome in obese people can be defined as different from lean people. And it's not just a simple function of how much food they eat. Each person has his own tendency towards a personalized microbial population.
And you're saying the microbes make people fat?
Yeah, actually, I don't want to state that unequivocally because it's that's a little bit ahead of the facts, but I'll give you an idea of how close the science is to suggesting that this is true. This may creep some of your listeners out. So this is an experiment that's going to be run. They are going to attempt, all right, everybody calm down. People are going to get fed capsules that have waste material, stool, from lean people. And they're going to feed these capsules, carefully constructed capsules, I assure you, to people that are overweight. And they're going to test and see whether that changes the eating pattern and the weight distribution of the overweight people.
Oh, it's thought to change the mind, but why?
It's a transplant. It is, quite frankly, is a microbial transplant.
Is that what you have to do to? I mean, can't you just change your diet to change the microbes?
Well, it's interesting. It probably isn't as easy as just changing. That's why dieting is defeated so often, because people, we've each known someone who eats a lot and someone who eats little, and their weights are very different anyway. I've known people who have said, I don't really eat that much, and the weight sticks to me. Well, honestly, these people weren't crazy. They're not being crazy. The fact is we metabolize so differently. We use the sugars and the proteins that we get out of our diet so vastly differently.
And you're saying what, the microbes are just these incredibly stubborn beings or creatures? Is that what it is?
Well, they want to live their own lives. Yes, they're codependent with us. Yes, we need them. But people will find this hard to believe, but it is absolutely true. Microbes have cognitive abilities. They're not thinking like you and I are. I mean, none of them are staying up tonight and going to figure out whether to go on Tinder and get a date. But they have their own sense of scale and of needs and preferences.
Okay. Their goal is to what? Is their goal to make a person healthy, the body is healthy? Is that what it is?
Their goal is strictly to satisfy what we in biology call homeostasis, which means they want to regulate themselves to their preferred status. Now, you and I have preferred moods. Mm-hmm. We have preferred activities. We have preferred status. Well, we've always used to think that animals were stupid, and microbes and other living things have no sense of self. They don't have no self-awareness. These things are wrong. Science has shown very clearly that that bacteria are social beings. Right. They have pretty sophisticated levels of cognition.
So
that doesn't mean they have intelligence like you and I do. That's completely different.
So when it comes to obesity and just our health in general, what does that mean? How do we approach these microbes to ensure that we are healthy?
Well, one of the things that, let me give an example of how new information can be utilized by someone to assist them if they want to try to lose weight, for example. A new report has just come out, very carefully done study, actually, from France. And what they found out is that satiety, the feeling of fullness, which we have always thought in science, in biology, was inherent, was inside of us. So I eat some food, I eat enough, and I just feel full. And the thought was my own neural humoral axis, my neurons, my gut neurons, my brain neurons, the hormones circulate. Because the food has produced, there's glucose in the system and it circulates around and the pancreas squeezes out its juices and the whole thing circulates around and I say, okay, I feel full. And that's what we thought was always like a personal thing, an inside the person thing. Well, it is inside the person, but what we've just found out about satiety is that it is deeply linked. All this circulating hormone stuff, all these circulating proteins that say you are full.
Yeah.
Most of those are coming from bacteria.
Are they eating some of our food too, then?
They are metabolizing it. Mm-hmm. And as they metabolize it, they are starting an arc of reproduction. So when the bacteria go through cycles of growth and bacteria die off, there's this constant cycling. Their life cycle is very, very different from our own. So what happens is when you start to eat, and you give the nutrients in your stomach, and the bacteria there start to reproduce. And the study has shown that when the bacteria reach about 1 billion extra over what they had at the start in your stomach, they start to flip the proteins that they are producing from one sort to the next. And the next kind, that's the kind that circulates through your body and says to you, you're full.
You're full. Yeah, well, just one last question here. When people have problems with bacterial infections, right, they're always taking antibiotics, that kind of thing, what's happening there? Why would that occur if these bacteria want to have homeostasis?
Well, what's happening, we are finding out in many of these bacterial infections, is that the reason that you get the bacterial infection isn't just that a bacteria has reached you as a susceptible person. The susceptibility factor is that the protective environment of all of the bacteria that are part of you on a consistent basis, that community that has been protecting you breaks down, so that the pathogen is not just inserting itself. It is taking advantage of a breakdown of an ecology.
Because you're saying typically these ecologies, these other bacteria, would be able to counteract this other bacteria. Is that
exactly.
It?
Normally, they would be there around and basically think of them as a protective coating against this pathogen. Mm-hmm. So let's just say someone goes to Chipotle and comes down with a bad infection. You know, that was all over the news.
Right.
Well, is there a bed that was there listeria in there or a norovirus or some of these things? Well, sure. But in order for the susceptible person was susceptible, not only because they are exposed, but they are exposed under a set of circumstances in which the invading bacteria or the virus could break down the countervailing microbial balance that existed to protect
that's
your
there.
Health.
Yeah, because in many cases, people are exposed. They don't come down with symptoms. If you want to learn a lot more, read the book, The Microcosm Within.
And maybe some of your listeners might like to just go on my Twitter feed at Bill Miller MD, and they'll pick up a lot of these articles as they come across the scientific journals.
At Bill Miller MD is the Twitter feed. Again, The Microcosm Within, Dr. Bill Miller. Dr. Miller, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.